Okay, so more research to do in the antenna area. And whether or not the4G LTE modem with power over Ethernet would suffice at a much lower cost.
If you email out the one that you just looked up there, you know, I can look at it when I get back. I just texted you a picture of the one that I have, and that's basically what, you know, I could take back by there and test with in terms of just detecting cell signal. Again, this isn't about making a reliable one, but the first step to everything we're talking about is getting a stable, you know, broadband cellular connection. So that precludes all of the other discussion.
So I just emailed you the modem I was looking at, that one John gave us the model number on.
Okay, I'll see if I can pull it up. KG4WNP.
It's fairly simple, right? It's and simple is good, all right? Simple is less to break.
Just make sure everyone's on the clear. Only two of the antennas would be used for the 4G. The other two antennas would be used for Wi-Fi. So if we're not using Wi-Fi, then you wouldn't need to be concerned with changing those out.
And that's good because the Wi-Fi on the Pi doesn't have an antenna. It's flat on the board. So you have to be kind of close to it for it to work. And even if you're close, there's so much RF up there. Like today, I set it up and had it work and went up on the roof for a little while, came back down, and it lost its connection. And it was only 10 feet away. All right, so the Wi-Fi in the Pi works, but it's not robust by any means. It works, and you can display a dashboard through it and make changes to the repeater, but sometimes it gets kind of sticky. Right? It's not the best in the world.
I think the Wi-Fi is convenient because then when you go up there to work on things, you don't have to run a cable for yourself. You just, you know, connect to Wi-Fi. So that is useful. KG4WNP.
I doubled with you, Landon. Go again.
I think you and John just doubled just there. I was just confirming that is true, and I might not have said it before, that two antennas on the MOFI are Wi-Fi, just like he said, and the other two are for that, and we wouldn't need to change the Wi-Fi ones out because we have no need to improve the Wi-Fi side. It'll be more than adequate as it is for what we're needed for. That was all I was really saying. KG4WNP.
Let me see if I got it. Yeah, the Wi-Fi does have the added benefit that it's not going to bring lightning into the hut, right? If something gets damaged out there, okay, you lost it. You lost your link, but you didn't damage all the other stuff in the hut. So it does have that advantage, but its weak point is being in all that RF. It's somewhat dependable, but it's not the most dependable connection. Yes?
The lightning thing, the reason being is we're going to have to send power out there, and that comes from our DC bus anyway. So whatever we do, we're going to have to protect against static discharge. We're not necessarily going to get lightning. Static discharge is what got the last piece of equipment. It wasn't a direct hit.
So what are you? So you're saying we may as well bring hard line in there and have a more robust connection? Not hard line, but bring Ethernet through, power over Ethernet, and just make sure we get that grounded real good.
I would go ahead and use power over Ethernet, and I've got some cables. It's a large conductor. I believe it's 24 gauge. Like we were talking about a while ago, with an overall shield, it's designed for commercial use inside of a building that has other problems with interference, a lot of AC, like 480 volt bus duct and such. So that cable would be fine. And all we'd have to do is come up with a way to arrest any kind of surge that gets on the wire, or I should say the conductors internally, so that it doesn't exceed any voltages that would be dangerous on the other end. The other thing you could do, too, is once you come inside, if you use the modem like you guys were talking about, you'd have to come inside to a router. So that's another piece of equipment that's between the repeater controller and other devices that would be there to catch the first surge.
Where do you get those and how much are they?
referring to?
That thing that that you run Ethernet in both ends, and in the middle it takes any lightning strike to ground. W4DJW.
Research. I didn't get to tell you guys this, but I just recently created an account through work with a company called Tesco, and they sell commercial radio equipment of all types, including the networking hardware. Let me do a little bit of research and maybe make a phone call or two and talk to some technical support people and see what we come up with. It'll be a place to buy the antennas you're looking for.
Want to do that research Landon was talking about, so make sure that we don't over or under drive the hardware in the modem.
These guys have an extensive technical support group, so I can make a phone call or two and probably come up with all the information we need regarding the hardware.
Is that at retail prices or at commercial prices?
Wholesale.
So I'm headed back past there. I'm going to go in and see if the one I sent you a picture of, I'll put that on my laptop and see if I can get connected. KG4WFP.
That'll be a good test.
Do they give you a HTML page you can go to look at what your external facing IP address is, and you can allow ports to pass, you can open and close ports, that kind of thing? Do they give you that kind of functionality, Landon? W4DJW.
For which device are you asking about? I mean, because that depends on the device.
Either the one that you were going to try out.
With me today is just, you know, a USB adapter for a cellular device, so it'll just be the laptop. It's not a router. The one I have at home, that's a full router, right? So you can do port forwarding, you can do packet shaping, that kind of stuff. It's an older one, so it doesn't have some of the newer features, but it's fairly full-featured. Something like the MOFI should be the same as that, right, because it's a router also. The full extent of router capabilities that the MOFI has, I'm not sure of off the top of my head. But what I have with me today is not a router. So it's just going to put my laptop, you know, on the internet via cellular.
Okay, and then you're just going to measure your signal strength with that?
I don't remember whether it gives me the actual reading on that one. Of course, you could do the same thing with a cell phone, you know, walk around and go into your info screen and get the actual dB value. I don't know that I get the dB value off of this thing plugged into the laptop, but, you know, it gives you the bars, you know, so you can get a relative sense of it. KG4WNP.
And what does it have for an antenna?
Did you get the text of the picture that I sent you? It tells you what it's got. So it just has two little, you know, those are not Wi-Fi, they're cellular antennas, but they're just little SMA antennas, kind of like what you'd have on a router at the house, you know, just small little things. So there's not a lot of gain to them, but it's what gets you the connection outside the enclosure through a little bit of very tiny coax and an SMA connection. And then you've got board level connections on the other end of that, the little snap-on ones for an NGFS style, which are really small.
And you've got that one set up to work with your service provider already?
They got it working just yesterday, actually. And I tested it on my laptop directly. I did a quick test last night with my router at home, and that still did not work. It doesn't really surprise me. I think the issue there is the age of that particular router, that it just can't recognize this modem. It knows something's plugged in, but it can't recognize the modem, and it's a discontinued item, so I can't really get an updated modem compatibility file or even new firmware. I have the newest firmware available, but that's pretty old. KG4WNP, I'll be out for a second to get open the gate. 4WNP.
W4DJW.
Wait. WWD40YH.
Go ahead, Johnny.
A little bit of y'all's
latter part of your conversation. Which direction are we headed?
That's a good question. All directions. I don't know. Any direction that finds a solution that doesn't cost an arm and a leg.
Now that the power over Ethernet thing you asked about, that can be done. As far as I know, Ethernet will work just fine as long as the power that's sent over it is DC. Through twisted pairs, it shouldn't cross talk and cause any problems. So what we would do if you chose the modem combination router, we would send the 12 volts over the pair of wires in the cable that are not used by the Ethernet system. And then when you got to the ends, break it out and make the appropriate connections and put the appropriate overcurrent protection on it. If you went the other way with just the modem that does power over Ethernet, then that problem's already taken care of. We would just have to use an injector on the hut end of it to inject the power.
So we want one that you can buy off the shelf. Otherwise, it would take us a while to get it up there.
Buy off shelf, correct?
One of them, you got to split cables out of an Ethernet, and then you've got to isolate them, and then you've got to protect them from lightning. That could be time consuming, right?
Protection is going to come regardless of what you do. The splitting of the cables is going to take maybe like an hour. That's easy.
But you got to get the connectors for what you're splitting it off to, right?
With the device, the power cable that comes on the wall wart that comes with the one that Landon was talking about, you just cut it off. Use it. The other end of it's a hard wire to circuit breakers that already have spaces on the bus in the hut.
So nothing to buy there?
Not there.
So we can get everything together this coming week and take it up there and install it next weekend?
If you could prove it works, I'd be careful about buying too much stuff until I was sure I could find a sweet spot up there that would give you a reliable cell phone connection.
This is true. I'd hate to do all that work for nothing.
That what we're talking about would work. Only catch is getting a sweet spot with a good, reliable cell phone connection.
That's the piece that's hard to try before you buy.
Oh, somebody listening might have a way to do that. They do make hardware that will look for cell sites and give you signal strength. If somebody's got a piece of test equipment like that, that would be willing to bring it up there and help us.
I'm currently sitting a little bit off center from the driveway in the truck, doors closed, windows up, and I can just barely get connected with mine, and it's just sitting down on the seat. Obviously, that's not good conditions. For comparison with how that's sitting, I only have like one bar 4G on my phone in the same scenario. So I'm going to connect and I'll move around a little bit and see what I can do. But I was connected, KG4WNP.
What cell provider is that, Landon?
The thing I have is Verizon. Quantifiable signal strength on the laptop device, but with the cell phone, where I was standing at the back of the truck over there, kind of lined up with the driveway, I was at about 123 dBm, standing right now right in front of the shack door. I'm at like 110, 109. I'm going to go up on the roof and see if it gets better. KG4WNB.
It's kind of weak.
So just going to the top of the ladder on the roof, that takes you down to, or up, I should say, to 105. These are obviously all negative.
Is this an improvement, though, over where you were in the truck?
Affirmative. So on the ground, halfway between the tower and the fence, I was 123. And then again, right outside the shack door, you know, it was 109. Top of the ladder was 105. Ice bridge by the steps. It bounces around a little bit. It was 105. Now it's 114, which is worse. I'll move over here a little bit more and see KG4WNP.
We're looking for something like minus 60, Johnny. He's like minus 100.
Remember, this is just with a cell phone. The antenna and a cell phone in this environment is not good.
That's true.
What he's doing is a good thing because he's using a system that's somewhat less than what we need, which means it's gonna make it easier to find the sweet spots.
I think you were right. I think you were right, Johnny. That idea is a little bit louder than the other idea.
It's on the hot side.
We could take the normal output down to about a minus 4. That might help if I had Wi-Fi connectivity to the repeater hut.
Johnny, but
just come on up, Dave. So far, about the best I've seen is 105. Obviously, it bounces around a little bit. Again, just with the cell phone, just wandering around different places. Wasn't really all that much better on the roof. Now I'm kind of doing the perimeter of the fence, and I've been pretty steady at 106 for a little bit now. But better antenna or something, you know, can help out with this. But no matter what, up here, you would probably, for being reliable and good signal, you're probably going to have to go directional for sure. But I've been stable at 106, and I've walked the entire side of the fence by the generators and everything. And now I'm on the other side of the hill, which theoretically should drop way off if the coverage maps you guys looked at were correct, KG4WNP.
And I was just looking at them again for AT&T. I was trying to find them for Verizon. And AT&T now has all of that area covered, all the way over to Cliff Ridge Road, which Cliff Ridge Road is the road that runs parallel to Gear Highway or 276. It's the one that we take back to get to Woodbine Road or to to Bridge Bend, which is where the repeater site is. So the repeater site now is completely engulfed in AT&T signal.
So I'm all the way on the back side of the building, and I'm still at, when I just jumped up to, or down to 110, I wasn't still at 106. And now I'm getting worse, 111, but now I'm on the far side over near Mendel's Shack. Now 109, come up on his shack. So I will point out too that even though when you go by actual signal strength, these aren't the best numbers in the world, it is usable because, you know, we text and stuff from up here. Yeah, it can be spotty, but, you know, even at these levels. So I'm back to 105 and I'm walking back up the paved part of the driveway from the gate, and there it dropped to 110.
It doesn't take the resources that audio and other things take.
And that's why it works. But well, when you're on the phone, using the phone, as we know, it's when you step into the shack, you know, it drops off and you drop the call a lot of times. So we went to all the way to 117 as I went behind the big generator. 116. So there seems to be a hole on the kind of in front of the building near the big generator. And some of that might just be it being spotty, because now I'm all the way back around and I'm still at 116, now 110, 109. So it's a kind of a hole there between the generator and the two trees near the where you come in. And then beyond that, it's a little bit spotty, but like I said, 105 is the best that I've seen so far.
Hey, Landon, are you comfortable with VI?
It's been a while since I've done VI. I would normally do nano or something like that. That's what I've used more recently. Why, you want me to do something?
Yeah, in the Etsy directory, there's a file. There's a SVX link directory. And in there, there's a svxlink.conf. And it's got a FX gain normal equals zero setting. Change that zero to a minus four.
To repeat that for me, I got to get connected and whatnot first. I'm not connected to the Pi. Let me get that done, and then I'll get you to tell me where to go again. KG4WNP.
Okay. It's not very difficult. And then you'll do a restart on it.
Right. With his survey being done, it sounds to me like if we had the correct antenna system and either one of the devices you guys talked about a while ago, we could probably get what you need.
So I'm standing now, Dave, right where you were working on your laptop today, and I'm at 105 there, holding my phone in my hand. If I lay it down on the wood, obviously it gets worse. KG4WNP.
I think a pair of Yagis pointed in the right direction will get that, like, at least 90 or 80 or something like that.
Would you like to use, Dave?
I'm not married to any device. I just like to get some equipment up there and start doing some testing.
Did we find a price on that piece of equipment that's a modem only that works off of power over Ethernet?
Yeah, John found that on Amazon, I believe. I didn't find it, but he said it was around 150 or 130 or something like that.
The ability to connect external antennas to it?
Yes, external antennas for cellular, not for Wi-Fi.
The ones I was looking for.
Yeah, it had two. Well, it looked like it. I couldn't zoom in on it and see. I'll see if I can find it. Maybe the Amazon thing has better pictures. I'll look. W4DJW.
Hey.
Yeah, it has two TS9 connectors available to connect optional 4G, 3G antennas for better signal reception. Wired devices. So they're not SMA. They're TS9 connectors. You know what those are?
Familiar with those, but I'm sure we can acquire the hardware it takes to put them into service.
Takes 12 volts, 1 amp to power it.
That might overload our 12-volt bus.
Are you thinking put that at the base, pick out some antennas, put that at the base of the antennas, and then run Ethernet back to the hut, Ethernet through some kind of an isolation grounding protector?
We can put the system in a metal control enclosure, or the modem anyway, pass the antennas through. If they're Yagis, they won't have a DC grounded element, so we might have to do something with that. And then, of course, we'll run a ground wire up to the box along with the Ethernet cable, bonded at both ends, and find out what we can do about protection of the actual individual conductors in the cable when they come back into the hut.
Looks like it's got a door flap on the bottom of it that you used to open to put your SIM card in. So we need to get a SIM card, too.
Card come from the service provider, or do you buy one?
They come from the service provider. You can either buy one, but if you've rolled your own hardware, the only reason you'd have to buy a SIM card is if you're buying a plan. If you already have a plan, you just go there and they give you a SIM card. Or you do it online or call them and then they send you one. But what you're paying for when you buy one is the plan that you've added to it. But the SIM card itself is, if you roll your own like this, I just went to the store and they just gave me the SIM card and then I called in and paired it up to get that one I sent you tied in because I already had the old device that I was replacing was already on my account.
So the way that works is that piece would sit out there with the antennas out in some kind of a protected shell so that it protects it against the elements, ice falling on it and stuff like that. You run a power over Ethernet to power it. We'd have to figure out how to get that working. Then you can come back to a Wi-Fi router and then to the Pi. That way we can still get Wi-Fi in and you separate out what needs to get I don't know if it'd be better to get the MOFI that has the Wi-Fi that's out there with the antenna, or if you want to just put the modem out there with the antenna and then route the Ethernet back and have a Wi-Fi router that has a whole lot better signal than the Pi's Wi-Fi to amplify it so that we can get into it without even having to open the gate, all right? Just sit out there on the road and get into it if we drive up there, but get in if we couldn't get in through the modem. That'd be another option.
Good idea to me. Whatever you guys pick, he's a piece of hardware I can make work cable-wise.
I've got the Wi-Fi extender. I ordered that specifically for this, and then I put it in my house and started using it to get better connectivity to AT&T, so I'm kind of using it, but I could tear that down, switch everything that's using it over to another Wi-Fi, and take that up there and put, you just said it, it's like a can of dog food that just sits inside the hut, and it works really good. It's a good Wi-Fi extender, so that should get us out to the street, and then it would just have a hard line that plugged into the Raspberry Pi. And the Raspberry Pi would get its signal from that. And then the other end, the modem, would plug into the WAN portion of the Wi-Fi. And it would get us out to the Internet. That way we'd only have to buy the modem and a SIM card. And the antennas. And the ground, the fault. The, you know, fault to ground.
I'm actually now sitting back in the truck, and I've got a 90. 88, saw an 86 a minute ago, but it's not 4G currently from the provider, it's 1X. So it's not just signal strength, you gotta get the right signal. So on 1X, not broadband, you know, you can actually get a better signal, in the same spot. So I am connected now, Dave. I don't know if you wanna text me, the thing that you want me to change or whatever, but I'm connected, KG4WNP.
It's pretty simple. I can just guide you through it. Just do a CD to /etc/svxlink, and let me know when you get there. Now edit svxlink with nano, whatever your favorite editor is. Edit svxlink.conf. Let me know when you're inside.
Fat fingered the password the first time.
Okay. Now do a find on fx_gain. fx_gain.
Got a gain normal and a gain low. FX gain normal, FX gain low.
So the normal is set to 0 and the low is set to -14. Change the gain for normal to -4.
Okay, do I need to look for anything else in here or is that it?
That's it. And it's 4:58 right now. She's getting ready to start talking in less than 2 minutes. So if you save it and get out and then type sudo systemctl restart svxlink, it'll take effect. Sudo systemctl restart svxlink, enter.
Tag on system control?
No, it just returns the prompt back to you when it's done. And if you were tailing the log file, you'd see the log file scroll. It'll say SIGINT, received a SIGINT interrupt, and then you'd see it initialize saying, you know, the legal disclaimer for SVX-Link. But if you're not tailing that, you won't see anything. But it should, as long as it gives you the prompt back, you're good.
But I need the flag was just a dash restart, or is there no dash, just say the space restart?
November, Yeti, Kilo, Flash, Romeo, 6-1, repeater. The time is 5 p.m.
Okay, we missed her. there's no dashes or anything. It's all just one word. Sudo space systemctl space restart space svxlink.
I put it in. Can we force it to talk again?
Yeah. Type in SEND lowercase and uppercase D and hit the tab and tells me what the tab complete is. S-E-N-D, and then uppercase D, no space. They're all jammed up next to each other. And then hit the tab key and tell me what tab complete gives you.
Tmf.bash.
Okay, space, that command, that's the right command, so it found the right one. Space 6-1, you're going to send this to 6-1. Space /*, enter.
Whiskey 4, November. Yankee Kilo Flash Romeo 6-1. Repeater. The time is 5:01 p.m. Press 0, number sign for help.
That's better. You quieted her down a little bit. She was pretty loud. You took some wind out of her sails. That's good.
Leave it there, or you want to change it more?
I think that's good. Johnny, does that sound better to you?
WID.
W4DJW. How do you do? Yeah, that's a short ID. I'm thinking. I don't know any way to force it to do a CWID. You have to wait. If we keep talking in 8 minutes, it's going to do it by itself.
Do it in 8 minutes even if we stop talking, because now we've been talking since the last ID, so it will always be the next 10, right?
Yeah. If you grip on identify in /var/log/SVX link, you'll see it identifies it 10 after, 20 after, 30 after, 40 after, 50 after. And it might skip one of those if nobody used the repeater during that time. And then it does a long identify at the top of the hour. So shorts every 10 minutes if somebody's used it in that 10-minute time frame, and longs at the top of the hour, regardless.
We're going to get the short anyway, because now we've been using it since the top of the hour. So we'll get that one, and then you can judge it, I guess, KG4WNP.
So, Johnny, are you researching our equipment, or do I need to buy this modem and go get a card? What are we going to do? What's the plan?
In motion, mobile. I can look into the equipment as soon as I get where I can log on to the website. Won't be able to call today, though. I have to wait till during the week to do that for their tech support. It's kind of up to you guys which way you want to go. You seem to be liking having the ability to have long-range Wi-Fi. So that leans us towards Landon's solution, which is the router, modem, combination. The other solution, obviously, is modem only up at the antenna, and then we'd have to put a router in the building.
Your one that you sent the link for, does that happen to be the Netgear Nighthawk or whatever?
I'm looking for their names. Netgear 4G LTE modem, instant broadband connection, supports power over Ethernet, works with AT&T and alternate carriers. It doesn't call it a Nighthawk.
Kind of like a black and a purple light with an LCD display on the top, and it's kind of a square puck looking thing.
That's affirmative. Yeah, and the LTE, the bar, it's got the bars that increase in strength, six bars. It's got the bar strength that you find on your cell phone on the front of it as LED indicators.
So that one has ports on the back to be able to hook external antennas. I believe Wyatt looked at that one and ruled it out when he was looking at them. I've seen good things about that one, but not fail safes. I kind of landed on that. I thought that the MOFI was better if you're going to try to use it in areas that are sketchy. I don't have any hands-on experience, obviously, with either one of them, but that was what I landed on based on what I had looked at, which was not completely in-depth.
But you still have some research to do on the MOFI for what's the best antenna, the directional antenna?
Well, that would be true, but that's true no matter what. If you want to go external, outside directional antennas, no matter what you're plugging it into, you're going to have to do that research. The MOFI comes with external antennas, which the Netgear, I believe, does not. And I think it costs a little bit more if you combined everything that the other one comes with. But the combo unit that's the $300 price that you saw for the MOFI on Amazon or whatever that price was, that one includes regular cellular antennas similar to what you saw on the picture of my unit, and then also high gain. They come together. That's a combo.
Point of interest.
You're dropping out, Johnny. You're not holding the repeater up. You might want to bump up your power a little.
I only transmitted one time.
Well, you said what I'm interested, and then you didn't say anything else.
Of interest. Do I have it?
Go ahead.
Oh, the one that Landon is talking about will cover your Wi-Fi concerns. What I would suggest is if you want to go that way, buy that system, use the high-gain antennas that come with it, take it up there, and walk around with it just like Landon did with the phone. You may very well find it a sweet spot that will work with the high-gain antennas that come with it. If they do, we can put it in a plastic enclosure and not worry about external antennas.
That works for me. Yeah, then we don't have to do any antenna research. Then all you have to do is build the cable that gets... Does it... I'm looking at whether it takes power over Ethernet.
Worry about the power thing. I got that covered. Stand by one. Be right back. WD-40YH.
Off the shelf. We can build a cable, like Johnny said. And we can do power over Ethernet, even for something that isn't power over Ethernet on board. So that's not a huge deal to me. I should clarify what I meant more about with the Netgear. My recollection, and I was finally able to pull it up here because I got broadband back. I believe it has an internal battery also. And in my opinion, for the way we would be using it and the same as the way I would use it at home, I think that's a weak point. Not that it's a problem, but if you're going to use it traveling, you know, where you're not always going to plug it in and whatever, I might be remembering the device incorrectly, but that's what I thought. KG4WNP.
Keep a radio for a minute. Did I miss anything?
Nothing other than what you already stated. Let me see if I got it. Yeah. So the modem alone has a weak spot with a battery. So it looks like everything's leaning toward the MOFI. If I press the buy now one click button, it'll be here on the 5th. On the 5th. That's before next weekend. If you can build a cable between now and the 5th for power over Ethernet, then we can go up there and do what you're talking about and take a 12-volt battery up there and walk around with it, right, just to see, and then Wi-Fi it back over to the Pi, or we could connect to it with our cell phones and see what the signal strength was like as we walk around and do that for next week. We were planning on going up there next weekend instead of this weekend anyway, right?
No plan. We won't need to do any cabling. If you're going to just buy the unit, take it up there and walk around with it, I've got a 12-volt battery. We'll cut the cord off of the wall wart, terminate it on the battery, plug it in. Does it have indicators on it for its signal strength, cellular signal strength?
Nah, that's one difference between the Netgear and the other one, or another difference.
Monitor that.
I've got a program on the laptop that's a Wi-Fi signal strength indicator.
Wi-Fi, we need to look at the cell signal.
Yeah, that's on a different frequency. I don't know, does the MOFI output anything that tells you what that is? Landon, do you know?
It has a web server internal and serves you up a web page, and I would imagine that on that you can tell. You can do that on the one I have at home. You know, it's not a MOFI, but it's the same idea, failover, you know, router. And that's how you would do it on that one. You just call up the web page. So I don't know that for sure, but that's what I would expect. The Netgear has a little display on the top, but it just seems like the packaging of the Netgear is not really what we'd be looking for, but that's just my opinion.
MOFI because of the Wi-Fi. Dave's interested in being able to get in the Wi-Fi from the gate. And with it being up on the roof or someplace like that, we'd have good coverage in Wi-Fi.
Okay. I think we decided. I press the button on the MOFI now.
Have a LAN port that we can use to put Ethernet back to the Pi.
It's got four of them. It's got one wide area, and it's got four local LAN ports.
Okay. What do you think, Landon?
Well, I suggested it in the first place, so my opinion might be biased. just make sure that the one that you have states that it's the combo one, because that one comes with the higher gain cellular antennas. Otherwise, you have to buy it separately. And you'll probably want the Amazon because you do Prime and can get the fast shipping, but it is actually cheaper to buy direct from MOFI. Not by a lot, but it is cheaper.
Well, they probably won't have it here by the 5th, right, if I went direct with them. Also, I need to go to AT&T and get a card.
For the testing purposes, it's going to depend how we want to test. We're going to have, you know, a provider account somehow. So either somebody's going to have to add another line to their plan and put it on that, or we're going to have to go create a brand new one or something. But yes.
Point of interest. Probably need to find out which service provider provides the best signal to a cell phone before we pick a card.
How do you suggest we do that? Walk around with our cell phones? A good thing we all have different providers, right?
Do what I just did with their phone. I don't know that you're really going to know that. That's the quick version. The alternative is actual, you know, come up and do a better test, or at a minimum, don't use the provider's generic coverage maps, but use the cellular, I can't remember the website, but there's a website that shows that a little more dynamically than just the somewhat generic ones that the provider kind of puts out sometimes, because theirs pretty much show the whole area covered.
Yeah, I got to go find that site again. I can't find that. I was looking for it earlier.
Be one of the top results if you just Google for it. I just don't remember which site it was that I was using last time. KG4WNP.
Okay, I found on Money Savings Pro, Root Score Network Performance in South Carolina, overall network, AT&T 91, Verizon 96, T-Mobile 85, Sprint 80, reliability, AT&T 92, Verizon 98, T-Mobile 85, Sprint 84, and they've got a map. I'm going to go into their map and see what that looks like.
Get to talking and miss the CWID and deciding if we liked its level?
Yeah, but it'll come up again in 4 minutes. If we just stop talking in 4 minutes, we'll hear it.
Copy that. KG4WNP.
Somebody needs to set a 3 minute and 1 second timer or something like that. W4DJW. So do I buy this thing or do we wait?
As I said earlier, I might be buying one soon anyway. If you are really hot to get something now, then that's the option. But if I can't get this one that I have here working with my existing router, I was probably going to buy one of those instead. But I guess it's kind of up to you.
But you're going to use that at home. I'm looking for one we're going to leave up there at the site.
But until we verify the carrier and maybe look at some other things, I don't know that we're ready to leave one up here anyway, right? We still have to do some testing.
Well, isn't one of the tests going to be a duration test?
Once we have something functional.
So, Landon, you still there? W4DJW.
Affirmative. I was wondering if I missed the ID. Should have gone, shouldn't it?
Should have, but I didn't hear it. It's coming up in 3 minutes. I'm on the AT&T site. I'm looking for... I'm ready to activate my SIM, or I need to order a new SIM. I think they assume that I'm replacing the one in my phone. But then it says I'm ready to activate. So if I go buy a SIM card and I plug in the IMEI and then from the SIM, the ICCID, is that how you got your SIM card activated?
Tell you two things. One is sometimes the way they lay out the websites make it confusing to do yourself, and it's easier to just call them. But if you are looking to put it on your plan and you're going to add that device, you don't want to do a swap. You have to do add a line. And when you do the add a line type of thing, you know, then you'd have to say, yes, I need the IMEI number from the router, the MOFI. And they will, if you already have a SIM card, you give them a SIM card number. Otherwise, you just say, I'm adding a line, here's the IMEI number. They'll pair it to a SIM card and just mail you the SIM card. Or if you're doing it through a third-party, you know, cellular sales type deal, they'll have one and, you know, it'll come with it.
Okay. So I got to get, so bottom line, I've got to get the MOFI first and then take the IMEI up there to them. I got to upgrade my phone anyway. I'm still on iPhone 6. Mine's really old. I just need an excuse to go up there and do it. Anyway, that thing should identify in 1 minute, 5 seconds.
It still does what you need it to do, then you don't need to upgrade it. That's just an excuse for them to make more money. But yeah, you got to have the MOFI first so that you can get the IMEI number, unless you're buying it through, you know, a third-party sales that combines both actions together. KG4WNB.
Okay, so we've got 30 seconds. So I'm going to order the MOFI so I have an IMEI. And about 15 seconds till blast off. W4DJW.
You going to put it on or are we going to test that?
It didn't go off. Can you do it? Are you still logged on? Or Johnny may have had it keyed up when it went off. Did you, are you still logged in?
I should be. Give me a minute to walk back over to the truck where the laptop is.
I just want to make sure its seconds are lined up with our seconds. It does a refresh every day, so it should be within 2 seconds of the actual time.
Thinking we, after the restart, we need to do another hardware clock sync command?
No, I just want to see how far out it is. Just do a date and tell me what the seconds are.
Okay, what do you want me to put in? It looks like I'm still connected.
Just the word date, D-A-T-E, enter.
5:31:17.
Okay, and I did it about 3 seconds after that, and I get 5:31:20, so it's right on. This clock is right on the money.
But even if, shouldn't it have still done the ID either immediately after Johnny unkeyed or over top, you know, interleaved with him?
Yes, it should have. Can you do like tail-20F space slash var slash log slash SVX link.
Tail space dash 20F space var, and what was the rest?
var slash log slash SVX link.
The slash in front of it, that's the path you're talking about, after the dash 20F?
Yeah, after 20F. Space slash VAR slash LOG slash SVX link.
VX link or SVX link client?
Just SVX link, one word. Nothing, no dots or no client, no. Just SVX link.
I see us talking and the squelch opening and closing. Don't see anything that said ID.
Okay, grep. Let me tell you, find out what to grep. You're going to grep something out of that same log. Hang on just a second. Okay, do a grep space IDENT, all one word, IDENT space slash var slash log slash SVX link.
So if you don't tell it to Greg. So I just did that and I got a big long list. So the last one I see for short ident at the bottom says 17:30:00.
So it thinks it's doing it, but I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of noise while I was out away from the computer walking around, and I heard a little bit of noise as I went over to the shack, but I never heard the ID, that's for sure.
So which logic is saying that it's doing that? There should be two different logics, one for repeater logic and one for linking logic.
The one that I read you with that timestamp was linker 82 logic. Hold on a second, and let me find repeater logic. So the most recent going up from the bottom of the list for repeater logic was just the long ident at 1700. So there's no short ident from repeater logic after the long ident, but at 1650, let me make sure I'm reading them, 1650, repeater logic sent a short one, 1700, linker 82 logic sent a long one, 1700, repeater logic sent a long one, and since then, they've been three linker 82 short ones.
Okay, we'll have to fix that. I don't know why that is. It should be doing... I gripped it last night. If you grip it on November the 28th, if you put grip... Well, if you pipe the output of that into grip for November the 28th, it should be very different than that.
I have to do that. I can just go up this log. If I go up to 1400s long, you know, then I've got 1410 repeater doing a short, linker doing a short, and then they just alternate repeater, linker doing a short every 10 minutes up at 1400, and that's from today in the same log. Like the problem started at 1500. At 1500, we got longs from repeater logic and linker logic, and then it's only been shorts from linker logic since then. And then we got the long one again from repeater logic at 1600. But I don't see any other, I take that back, at 1630 repeater logic did a short. But there was a gap, but that's probably because it was not in use.
See if there's any errors in there. Do a grip space dash I space ERR space var log SVA clink. Yes?
Click sound that you had that you figured out a way to get rid of, it's there now.
If you turn the volume up really loud, you can hear it.
There's a way on the radio I'm using.
Yeah, I noticed that when I had to turn it up to hear Landon, when I got it almost full blast, I could hear it.
I want to make sure he's aware of it. I know you solved the problem on the last build.
Your cables solved that problem. They greatly suppressed that problem. But if somebody talks really light and you really have to turn your volume up to like full scale to be able to hear them, you'll hear some clicking.
Oh, then I need to ignore that.
Affirmative. You're going to get a little bit of that. And if you're really turning, I mean, you can get that on your Kenwood radio. If you turn it wide open, you're going to hear noise.
I will put it on the ignore list, WD40YH.
So the only errors that came up were from yesterday. So there was nothing error from today. And the last one from yesterday was at 9:13.
Okay, and it was identifying just fine. You might just want to do a pseudo reboot. I don't know what. We did a lot of messing around with it up there. We might have messed something up. If you reboot, then it'll just go through its cycle and be back up and running just fine. It should straighten it out.
Do one of those before we left, or before you left? I guess I left too and came back.
I was planning on it, but I didn't get never got around to it.
I'll do one right now. So, repeater will be down for a minute while it reboots. KG4 WNP.
Okay, it shouldn't take but less than a whole minute. W4 DJW. There it is. It's back. W4 DJW.
So, why didn't it ID when it first came back up?
It should have. After the first key up.
You keyed up and said it's back, and it didn't ID.
Do we still have the control? We have the linking radio off, right?
It's still off.
I think it's still trying to control that. I think just turning it off wasn't the solution we thought it was going to be.
The only reason we did that was because it was hung up in your software on the side, right? It wouldn't actually inhibit or say it was inhibited, right?
Not with the unlink, but how... Do this. Do a S-E-N-D, D-T-M-F, you know, lowercase d, uppercase, S-E-N-D, lowercase, and then uppercase D, and then tab complete, and send it to 8-2 instead of 6-1, and send it, what was that command? 998877-0. And that should make it stop trying to interact with the link radio.
Yeah, give me a second. I had to get reconnected to the Wi-Fi and everything first. I've got the DTMF sending to 8-2, and what was it you want me to send?
to send it to 82, send it 9988770.
988770, and any pound or anything like that?